This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900. Butch Jones replacing Philip Fulmer on the Jumbotron.
For what?
People getting drunk and stumbling into the wrong house.
For what?
Butch saying a chart told him to kick an extra point instead of going for two.
For what?
People who break the law while breaking the law.
For what?
It is time for what? Where we have to highlight some folks making some really questionable decisions out here. It can be in sports. It can also be outside of sports. And so I have it for what. I hate these for what's because you are calling out a contemporary. You're calling someone out that's in the same business as you. But it is what it is. I'm giving my for what to Sports Illustrated Twitter account and Sports Illustrated for tweeting and using the photo of Jakob Johnson when they put up an article about Tennessee's defensive end Ryan Thaxton being dismissed from the team following a domestic assault arrest. And so they show the Chick-fil-A Bowl here with Jakob Johnson running off the football field. Jakob wore 44. Ryan Thaxton was number 44. Very careless mistake. And you are, you got these players' reputations in your hand. All it takes is one person to Google Jakob Johnson or Google Ryan Thaxton, and they see a picture of Jakob Johnson. I mean, so just be responsible. If you can't find a 44 in orange, you can't find a Ryan Thaxton photo, well, just don't use one. Use a recruiting profile picture. But a very careless mistake here, and Jakob Johnson was not happy about it at all. So bad move. Be responsible. We have a lot of power as media members, and just treat that power with care, with respect. Understand that you influence the way people think. You influence sometimes the information that they have, and just be responsible. Don't be irresponsible here. I gotta give Sports Illustrated for what here for this article.
That's really bad. Got it for what out of Oregon, actually, this time going away from the state of Florida. Here's the headline. Oregon woman finds cougar in her living room, says telepathy helped her get it out. So this woman posted on Facebook about how there was a full-grown cougar cat from the wild that came into her living room. It found its way in after drinking from a pond out back. And it said the animal entered the household after drinking from a pond near the back door, and it entered through a mistakenly open door. And so this woman's housemate found the animal and immediately came and said, "Hey, holy crap, there's a cougar in our living room. What do we do?" And Taylor said the cougar was agitated and tried to leave through a closed window before hiding behind the sofa. When Taylor went to check out the animal a bit later, she found it asleep. And this is where it gets a real for what. This is from a Facebook post that this woman left about this incident, and this is what she said verbatim, word for word, quote, "When I made noise, the cougar woke up and looked startled, so I consciously raised my frequency, gazed lovingly into her eyes, and communicated using feline speak, eye blinking, to calm her. It was amazing to realize that this worked. I gazed lovingly, then blinked hard, and then she did it back. Then she went back to sleep." Taylor explained that in her post, the cats are extremely psychic and perceptive of energy, and eventually the cat left because of her positive energy. Oh, the positive energy got the cat out the door. No, the cat didn't want to be in your living room. Your eye blinking and positive energy did nothing except not make the cat mad. As an owner of two cats right now, I can say cats do whatever they want. They don't care about you and what you do, and they don't care about your energy. They're going to sleep where they want, walk where they want. In the case of Ben, attack who they want.
This is true. Charlie's,
one of our cats is not a fan of Ben.
Charlie's cat attacks me every time I come to his house.
Yep, she just perceives that Ben is in the house and gets mad. But this lady's insane. And, you know, I'm glad that she feels good that she's connected with the cougar. The fact is that this thing just left on its own and, whatever. Hey, at least no one was hurt. Cougar wasn't hurt. Everybody's good. So that's a plus. But I wouldn't advise this lady, like, go out in the wild and try to confront a cougar with her positive energy. It might not go too well.
Just a good idea.
Weird stuff there, man. Weird stuff.
Weird stuff indeed.
Makes sense out of Oregon, I guess. Things are real hippie up there, I think. Never been to Oregon. Been up in the Pacific Northwest, but not to Oregon.
I haven't either. I'd like to make it out there one day. Did Mr. Brad give Gary Sanchez a for what yesterday?
No.
Right. Well, I won't go deep into details. Quite frankly, nobody listening cares about the Yankees. But Gary Sanchez gets a for what for his actions Monday night. The Yankees were down by a run. Had the bases loaded, two outs. All he had to do was put the ball in play. The Yankees win. He hits a line drive right up the middle. Shortstop fields it. He goes to second, going to get the force out. The runner, Aaron Hicks, beats the infielder to the bag. He's safe. And the shortstop for the Rays then proceeds to throw the ball over to first and get Gary Sanchez out to end the game because Gary Sanchez was not hustling down the line with the game on the line. And you just, it makes me so mad because I don't understand how a professional athlete, somebody who's getting paid millions of dollars per year, cannot hustle with the game on the line. To me, that makes zero sense. So Gary Sanchez, you get it for what? For not hustling as a professional athlete with the game on the line.
Womp womp.
It was really rough. I could go on for 10 minutes about that, but
I'm not a Yankees fan at all, and I even saw this was hitting like national.
Oh, it made it
national
made
outlets
everywhere.
How yes. How bad of a night he had.
It was awful, and he was coming back from a groin injury, so the Yankees told him, hey, we don't want you running 100% down the line. We don't want you to re-injure it. But he was running like 20% down the line, and Aaron Boone, the Yankees manager, said after the game, we want him like 80% hustling down the line. But Gary put in, he was like walking to first, literally stopped at one point because he thought the game was over on his way to first. So just kind of frustrating to see.
I find this very interesting. Nick Saban did the whole ESPN deal yesterday. Chris Lowe here at ESPN.com wrote an article talking about Nick Saban's comments to ESPN. Quote, I've told both players, you got to win the team. And everything you do to bring attention to yourself or anybody even in your family that brings attention to yourself, you're not doing yourself a service and trying to help the team win. This is Nick Saban said on Tuesday to ESPN. I understand that. Nick Saban is right. If you are a coach, you gotta have a conversation with your players to let them know. We don't need mama, daddy, uncle, cousin on social media creating a distraction about things that are going on inside this program. Now, if a player is being treated wrong, he's been done wrong, you kind of have to use media, social media, the media as a whole to bring awareness to someone being treated unfairly and wrong. But rarely do you do that. I remember when Riley Ferguson was here and one of his family members was getting on radio, was talking on message boards, on Twitter, and you just don't want that as a coach. You just don't want that. It's a bad situation. But here's the thing that's really slick about Nick Saban. So calculated. Everything that he says, everything that he does is so calculated. He was asked about the quarterback situation and who would play and who would leave. This is what Nick Saban said, and he didn't have to say this. Quote, Jalen actually came to me and said, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here. I came here to get an education. I graduate in December, and I'm going to be here. Saban said, Hurts told him. Do y'all sense this, or maybe it's just me? Maybe it's my imagination here. Do y'all sense what Nick Saban is doing here? Before the season starts, Nick Saban put out that Jalen Hurts said he was going to not leave. They haven't played a game yet. Jalen Hurts could go in there and play well, get pulled for Tua. Tua can go in there and play well, play better. That can affect Jalen Hurts' playing time. Things can go south. And Jalen could decide that he doesn't want to be there anymore because what he thought was going to happen did not happen, didn't play out that way. But since this is already out, it puts Jalen in a situation where if he leaves, no matter how he's being treated or no matter what happens during the season, he's going to look like the bad guy. He's going to look like he went back on his promise because Nick Saban put this out.
If I'm Jalen Hurts.
This is slick.
If I'm Jalen Hurts, this is
slick.
This is what I'm doing, and I think this is a simple path, and I think it'd be silly for Jalen not to do this. You battle, you fight hard to win the quarterback competition, obviously. But assuming that Tua wins it, like everybody thinks is going to happen, you go to Coach Saban and you say, Coach, I'm here for you if you need me, if Tua gets hurt. But if not, please do not play me in any blowout games this year. With the new red shirt rule, I don't want to play more than 4 games this year unless I absolutely have to. I'm here for you if you need me. I'm willing to do anything to help the team win if you need me, if Tua goes down. But please try not to play me more than 4 games because then Jalen can graduate in December. He can now he has a red shirt year because he hasn't played 4 games, and he can go somewhere and have 2 years of eligibility starting next year. Versus where if he can't redshirt this year, he'll have to sit out a year, and then he'll only have 1 year of eligibility. So if I'm Jalen, I tell Coach Saban, I know it's kind of unprecedented, but you got to say, hey, don't play me unless you have to. If I'm not going to be the starting quarterback here, I'm trying to at least start somewhere else for 2 years.
Yeah, you have the team. You have the team interest, but don't lose sight of a player having his own interest. A player should have his own interest. It's his career. He only has 4 years. And so the team concept is so important. But sometimes the team concept is used as a shield to treat a player any type of way, not treat him fairly and do him wrong. I repeat. The team concept is important. You got to have it to win in football. It is the ultimate team game. But sometimes coaches use the team concept as a shield to treat a player unfairly, treat them like how they should not be treated. And in this case, Jalen Hurts, he's basically put Hurts in a situation, regardless of what happens, if Hurts leaves, he went back on his word. Nick Saban didn't have to tell the public that Jalen Hurts told him he was going to stay.
Yeah.
He didn't have to say that. He didn't have to, man, because things change. We think most Tennessee fans right now, most Tennessee fans think that Keller Chris is going to come in and be the starting quarterback. That's what they think.
I do think it's funny that national media members really do think that. Fans and local UT reporters are saying, hey, I wouldn't count out Gerald Guarantano.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like the whole, Coach Fulmer sabotaged Curry, national media saying that.
Yep.
Local media wasn't saying that. Anyways, but everyone's saying Keller Chris is going to be the starting quarterback, some of the fans and national media. But things can change. Keller Chris can come here and play bad. He could be allergic to pollen.
Look at
in the south and play and play and play bad in the fall.
He's gonna have a rough semester.
Yeah, he have a real problem playing here.
I mean, he could.
To
say this kid is not going to leave, or to say that this kid is going to be successful when things are fluid. I mean, people get hurt. You know, things happen. You just don't know.
I mean, look at Everett Golson. Wasn't he the Notre Dame quarterback that transferred to Florida and was grad transfer this past year?
Mm-hmm. No, that was Zaire. Golson went to.
He also transferred.
He thought about going to Texas. I don't think he wound up going to Texas.
Where did he end up?
Everett Golson was a guy that led Notre Dame to the national championship game there in 2012 against Alabama when we had the Manti Te'o stuff.
Florida State.
That's right.
He went to Florida State.
But look at those guys. You had Everett Golson and Malik Zaire, who were expected to be, they're going to take Florida and Florida State to the next level. Florida's going to win the division. Florida's going to go to the SEC championship game. Florida State's going to be back in the national championship game. And those guys, Everett Golson was a little bit better than Malik Zaire, but those guys didn't make a huge difference or a huge impact on their school. So you never know how these grad transfers are going to pan out.
I think Nick Saban is really slick. Nick Saban does a really good job of using the media to send the message. As much as Nick Saban hates the media, man, he sure agreed to go on ESPN. He sure agreed to do that interview.
Nick Saban likes the media. He just puts on a front.
He likes to use them.
Yes.
Which is what you're supposed to do.
If you know how to do it properly.
And I caught what he did. He sent the message to his players, to the players' parents.
And family.
To let them know, like, you're not helping the team. By your comment, Hurts Daddy, you may affect another kid's opportunity on our team to win because you have created drama. So Nick Saban does a great job of talking to people through the media. It is what Jeremy Pruitt did at SEC Media Days when he mentioned Huntington, West Virginia. He mentioned Grayson High School.
Charlotte.
He mentioned Charlotte, North Carolina.
Fort Lauderdale.
Because they are recruiting that area very, very hard, and there's really good players there. That's one thing Nick Saban definitely taught Jeremy Pruitt, or Jeremy Pruitt learned from Nick Saban, because that is straight from a Saban playbook there. That was super, super smart. But this Jalen Hurts situation at Alabama, it'll be fun to follow. Definitely, definitely fun to follow. 865-200-5503. We will take a look at the text box, Facebook Live comments when we return.
Mostly sunny with a high near 88 and a low around 66. There is a 10% chance of showers tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high of 88 and a low around 70. Friday, the chance of rain increases to 30%. Partly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. Weather on the Swain event is brought to you by B-Dry. If your basement is wet or cracked, B-Dry can help. BDry.com. Do you have cracks in your foundation? A wet basement or a nasty, leaky crawl space? Our listeners have heard about them on the Swain event for over a year, and now it's time to make the call. Give B-Dry Waterproofing and Foundation Repair the opportunity to fix your home's problem. Since 1958, that's right, nearly 60 years, B-Dry has been solving basement, crawl space, and foundation problems throughout the country. B-Dry only uses high-quality materials from reputable manufacturers. They back their installations with some of the best warranties in the industry to provide homeowners with added peace of mind. They are truly an A-plus company. Whenever you start experiencing a wet basement, leaky crawl space, or a cracked foundation, remember these three words. Better call B-Dry. Reach out to B-Dry today. Day at 865-662-5238 to schedule your free appointment. That's 865-662-5238. Remember, better call B-Dry.
With the hot weather and humidity comes mosquitoes and other pests. Let Southeast Termite and Pest Control take care of that problem for you. They offer one-time or package treatments that control biting adults as well as larvae. Southeast Termite and Pest Control has been in business since 1971 and is local and family-owned. They offer free estimates and quotes with no obligations. So don't get bit anymore. Go with the pest control company you can trust. Call Southeast Termite and Pest Control at 865-925-3700 or find them online at southeasttermite.com.
At some point in your life, you're going to need an attorney. You need a guy like Jerrica Steele with the law firm of Butler, Vines, and Babb. Jerrica Steele is East Tennessee born, and he understands what giving his all truly means. To Jarrett, every case is big and every client is important. He will aggressively push your case to make sure you are quickly paid every dollar that you deserve. Give Jared Castillo a call, 865-244-3933, and talk with him directly. His office is located at 2701 Kingston Pike. So if you've been injured in a car wreck, let Jared Castillo and Butler, Vines, and Babb fight for you.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Incipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today.
Hey, Annie, you're the spokesperson for Toyota Knoxville, right?
That's right.
Why should I buy from Toyota Knoxville?
Are you looking for new or used vehicles?
Does it matter?
No, because Toyota Knoxville has over 390 new Toyotas on the ground and over 350 pre-owned vehicles available to choose from.
Okay, so big selection.
And a lifetime warranty at no charge on all new and select pre-owned vehicles.
A lifetime warranty.
A non-factory limited lifetime powertrain warranty with unlimited miles. Plus 30 years of experience in Knoxville, not just serving our customers, serving our community.
And the buying experience?
Hello, it's Toyota Knoxville. Read the reviews. Talk to anybody that's been there.
Okay, okay. Where am I going?
Toyota Knoxville is at I-40 and the Lover Road exit. Go to Parkside Drive. You can't miss it.
Can I tell them Annie sent me?
I wish you would. If you're passionate about the car you drive, come meet the people that are passionate about the way they sell at Toyota Knoxville. ToyotaKnoxville.com.
Warranty good at participating dealers.
I know you're probably sitting there, and you're probably saying, "Hey, I'm a Tennessee fan. I don't care about Nick Saban doing that. I don't care if he did that to Jalen Hurts. Who cares?" Well, let me put ourselves in the shoes here. Let's say Tennessee. Let's say Jeremy Pruitt. We have a quarterback battle between Jared Guantano and Kayla Crist. And let's just say, Pruitt does an interview, and he publicly says, "Hey, I talked to Jared. Jared said he's here. He's not going anywhere. He's gonna graduate. He's here." Whether that's true or not, you're putting Jared in a you would be putting Jared in a really tough spot by already sharing the outcome before any of the season has been played. So, Jared could not play at all, be good enough to play, and probably need to transfer, probably be in his best interest to transfer, but because the coach put it out in the preseason that he wasn't going to leave, that's putting that player in a tough spot, is what I'm saying. It's brilliant by Nick Saban. I mean, it's a brilliant, subtle move that I caught. Maybe I'm making something out of nothing, but I don't think I am. I think Nick Saban has always been very strategic about things that he says to the media. But if Jeremy Pruitt did that to Jared, that would be putting Jared in a really tough spot. That if he did leave, it would be him going back on his word. And yeah. So I
hate that kind of stuff personally.
Just because the coach is in such an advantageous position already. Well, don't play games like this. Like this, this kid is here just trying to make his life better by playing a game of football. And you're gonna pull stuff like this. Like, you know, Nick Saban's making whatever $11 million this year, and this kid's getting his little stipend and has a roof over his head. Congratulations, but he doesn't have anything more than that. And you know that. But
on the flip side of that, why is it okay for Jalen Hurts' family to take shots at Nick Saban when they may not know the entire situation that's going on?
Because Nick Saban's making $11 million.
No,
that doesn't totally justify it. But
well, what hurts? What hurts?
Money doesn't justify
what
that.
But Hurts' father. What he did was probably not the best thing to do, which is that interview with Bleacher Report.
Wasn't great.
And he talked about his son being the biggest free agent if he decided to transfer. I mean, that put Saban in a really, really bad spot. But, I'm pretty sure that family knows what's going on with their son and the situation there.
Well, I would hope so.
At Alabama. I mean, I think his father is a coach himself, too. There's a good time, there's a bad time for parents to get involved. I don't think publicly making those statements if you're Jalen Hurts' father was the best thing to do, but I don't think Nick Saban making this his recent comments about, you know, Hurts telling him he was going to be there. I don't think that comment could have, you know, should have been made. Probably could have saved that one. I think it puts Jalen Hurts in a bad spot. But moving on. Going to the text box. South Kakulak Vol says, yes, he should be involved in all aspects, but there's a difference in that and hovering over your employees. It creates a bad atmosphere. And so, yeah, there's always a thin line between you are the leader. You are the head coach. So, yes, you need to make sure everybody's doing their job. There's that, and then there's hovering over folks. There's micromanaging people. There's not trusting the people that you hire to do their job. I mean, the craziest thing ever is hiring Kevin Beard, but then not letting him coach the wide receivers, and then, you know, saying things behind his back about how he can't coach. I mean, like, that's the craziest thing ever. Like, don't hire him if you're not gonna let him coach. So, I agree 100%. South Kakulak, micromanaging is important, but you just can't let it be detrimental.
Don't be like Coach O. Don't be like Coach Orgeron and be a defensive guy and try to meddle within the offense. And that's when you have a bad relationship formed with Matt Canada, and you have to fire him after the season, and you have to resort to a guy who hasn't called play in a number of years. So don't be Coach O. I agree. There's a way to kind of oversee everything that's going on without really forcing your coaches to do something that they may not be a fan of.
When you say meddling, and I want to make sure that if you're listening, you interpret this the right way. When you say meddling, are we saying
like controlling what Matt Canada? For those who may not know, Coach O last year was kind of instructing Matt Canada what to do on offense. Matt Canada's offense is based on a lot of motion. They want to have the defense's eyes moving all over the place. And Coach O said, quit doing that.
And O admitted that he did this.
He didn't like that.
Yeah. How are you going to hire one of the best offensive coordinators in the country, but he gets to campus, you're in the midst of the season, and you don't like what's going on?
How do you not know that this is
kind of who he is?
Yeah.
And you're going to – like, that's the type of stuff that if Tyson Helton has a thing that he does within the offense and it's midway through the season, I don't think that Jeremy Pruitt should kind of step in and be like, no, we're not doing this at all. Cut it completely out. Because right now, I mean, I view Jeremy Pruitt as a strictly defensive guy, and I think that's a fair assumption.
Well,
I don't think he should be kind of coming up with the offensive game plan.
I would
week
hope
in and week out.
For the amount of money that they're paying Tyson Helton, I would hope he lets Tyson Helton do his job. But
right,
that's just me.
I don't think that's always the case. And I'm glad that you clarified that, Ben, because there is a perception that if you are offensive coach and you're the head coach, then you don't touch defense. Or if you are a defensive coach
as a head coach and you don't touch offense. You don't want to meddle like Will Muschamp did at Florida. You don't want to meddle like Orgeron did at LSU with Matt Canada. But remember when Nick Saban was getting on Lane Kiffin about running the football, when he was still trying to, you know, throw the ball. Nick Saban's thinking about his defense resting. He's thinking about shortening the game. Let's not turn the football over and allow the other team to get back into it. That is when you have to step in on the headset and go, hey, it's third down. Let's be conservative here. Let's run a screen. Let's run the ball. Our defense is playing well. Let's play field position. Let's do this. You hired offense coordinator to go put up points. You hired offense coordinator to go. And sometimes you got to say, whoa, we don't need to go right here. Let's play smart here.
No, I agree. Yeah. I agree with that. I just think the situation at Florida at LSU was a little more complex.
It wasn't them
saying, hey, I'm trying to accomplish this at this point in the game. It was Coach O essentially almost calling plays.
Yeah, that's a problem. I don't want people to hear that and think that a head coach who's a defensive coach doesn't tell offense coordinator what to do during the game. You know, I'm pretty sure Kirby Smart was like, yeah, Chaney, you know, what are you thinking here? All right, well, coach, I'm thinking about, you know, we're doing a play action pass on this one. Let's do something else. I mean, those things happen. And that's not to say that doesn't mean Kirby Smart's wrong in that situation. It's going to happen in Tennessee. It's going to be times where Prue is going to want to play more conservative than Tyson Helton. It's going to be vice versa. That's what a head coach is supposed to do. If you are just allowing your assistant, your coordinator to do everything, then why are you even the head coach?
Yeah.
Let's make him the head coach.
Right.
I mean, let's make him the head coach. Now, I think at Clemson with Dabo, I don't think that he says anything.
For how much they're paying Clemson, he shouldn't be.
Yeah, I think Venables does his thing, you know. But for a defensive coach, if we can look around the country and say, okay, let's look at the defensive coaches who are head coaches, who have offensive coordinators, who is most likely to not meddle at all and not say anything to the offensive coordinator?
I don't mean to flip the script on you, but I kind of view it the opposite in terms of I look at an offensive guy who is least likely to mess with the defense, and that being Mike Leach. I don't see Mike Leach messing with the defense at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see that. I see that happening more. That's why I use defense coach as an example, because I think it's harder to find guys. It's hard to find guys who doesn't mess with the offense coordinator at all, rather than an offensive coach who doesn't mess with the defense. I think Cliff Kingsbury, I think the Dabo Sweeneys, I think there's a lot of offensive coaches who say, okay, defense,
you go do you.
You do you.
Yeah. One that comes to mind, Derek Mason. Derek Mason does not touch the offense at Vanderbilt. And
he probably should.
He does. Well, this past year, yeah, but the year before, so 2016, when Tennessee lost in Nashville, the Alvin Kamara, Josh Dobbs, Bush Jones didn't show up for his press conference that game. I believe Vanderbilt, I want to say they went 7-6 that year. By Vanderbilt standards, they had a good season. And leading into that season, that offseason, the storyline was Derek Mason is taking his hands off the offense. He's focusing strictly on the defense, not touching the offense, was going to trust offensive coordinator Andy Ludwig. He's going to do him. It's all on him. And that very next season, kind of after that, after they made those changes, that was Mason's best year at Vanderbilt.
So, I thought he stepped down from being defensive coordinator.
It was a little bit of both. Okay. He kind of didn't meddle with the offense. It was more of him overseeing both units of the football rather than kind of having an imprint.
2016.
It was whichever. Maybe
what I'm looking at says
it was
Derek,
his best year. Whichever season was
went 6-7. They played in a bowl game, beat Tennessee.
They lost to NC State in the bowl game.
Yeah, so it was 6-7.
Yeah, that year.
Yeah, that was their best year since Zane Franklin.
It says
there.
Derek Mason was still the defensive coordinator then. Well, it says he was last year, too.
He wasn't last year.
I remember.
Yeah, that's, he hasn't been the past 2 years.
Yeah, that's Wikipedia messing up there. He wasn't last year. Yeah, he wasn't. He was not defense coordinator. He took off. Like, he took the title away from himself.
Like, 2 years ago.
Last year. Yeah. And then at SC Media Days, he talked about doing that again this year. I remember him talking. So, I know he has not been defense coordinator for at least 1 year, and he plans on doing it again this year. But, I mean, that's just a really interesting question. I mean, point when you think about it is you have these defensive coaches out here who are head coaches. How many of them say, hey, offensive guy, just do your thing? Do you think Barry Odom is going to let Derek Dooley just do his thing? I mean, come on. You think Barry Odom at Missouri is going to let Derek Dooley, hey, Derek, you do the offense. I brought you in here to coach your offense. No input from me. Nothing on the headset. Absolutely not, man. He's going to tell him.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Well, I was just going to say, I got it figured out. Technically, David Katulski has been the defensive coordinator at Vanderbilt, but Derek Mason was handling it until 2016.
Right.
So, there you go.
I would almost say that, in theory, I agree with you on let's not allow Derek Dooley to run the offense by himself.
He's going to run the offense by himself. I'm talking about, like, no input at all from the head coach.
I know, in theory, I agree with you. But I look at what Barry Odom, in that first year he had at Missouri, and the offense was not his – the offense was kind of butt booty terrible that year when he had, if I remember correctly, he was kind of overseeing things, and that offense was really bad that year. And then I believe that offseason he was like, okay, it was opposite of Derek Mason. He was like, I'm going to take a step back and kind of shift my focus to defense, and I'll let Josh Heupel mm-hmm. run the offense, and that led to Josh Heupel getting the job at UCF.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, Barry Odom, they went they were 4-8 the first season there.
And that offense was awful.
Yeah, in 2016. But when you look at Kirby Smart, and it appears that he just lets Jim Chaney does his thing. But we don't hear what's being said on the headset.
Right.
We don't hear
– let's run clock.
Yeah, we don't hear that.
Mm-mm.
We don't hear that. And to think that Pruitt is not going to do that, you're naive. It's going to happen.
And I wouldn't want Pruitt not to do that.
And that's becoming a head coach.
Right.
That is all the little things that we have not seen from Jeremy Pruitt yet. We know he's a good football coach, great defensive mind, great recruiter. But that is the small things that we have yet to see that he's going to have to be really, really good at to be a good head coach is how do you communicate with your offensive coordinator during the course of the game? When do you know to say, you know what, we got a 10-point lead. Of course, the fans think it's PlayStation, so let's just keep the foot on. Let's keep passing it. No. How about we make that team beat us? How about we play field position? How about we run the football and then we punt and make them drive 80 yards because our defense is holding on? And then, you know, we get the ball back in a better field position starting point, and now we've increased our chances to go down to score again. I mean – that is what Pruitt's going to have to figure out as a head coach and do during the game is when are you saying go, go, go with your offense coordinator? When are you saying no, no, no? When you putting the brakes on.
All I know is we better not have any more games where we're beating North Texas 17-0 at halftime and only beat North Texas 24-0. And we better not have a game like UMass where we win 17-13 and UMass has a chance to win the game on the last drive of the game.
Yeah.
That better not happen.
Well, no, I'm talking about when you're playing like
opponents.
You know, you're playing like West Virginia, Georgia, and Florida. You know, sometimes winning is and Trent Dilfer made this comment and it's like a meme. Sometimes winning is not losing. It's like, yeah, but understand what he's trying to say is You know, you can win games by just forcing the other team to beat you.
Right.
You don't have to be on the offense to win games. You can force them to beat you, play defense, and win games. And you have to sometimes adopt that mentality when you are playing against the Georgias and the Floridas and stuff like that. But when you're playing against UMass,
you got to beat them down.
You got to beat them down.
Like when we play UTEP this year, when I love ETSU, Coach Sanders.
Gotta beat him down.
We got to beat him by 50.
Got to beat him down.
Yeah. We talk a lot about Butch Jones' shortcomings at Tennessee. That is one of the underrated shortcomings of Butch Jones' tenure at Tennessee. Those games were maddening against North Texas and against UMass.
You know, he scheduled his friends, and he liked to take it easy.
And what was the other one? Ohio.
Yep.
His good old buddy from the MAC.
The worst.
Some action on a Saturday.
Swain and Vince, stay with us.
Hour 3 of the Swain Event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
VFL's Jason Swain and Todd Kelly here with our Men on Football and Smoothie segment. Let's discuss some of our favorite smoothies and how they impact our lives. TK, man, tell me which smoothie comes to mind when you think about playing defense.
Swain-O, the Peanut Butter Power Plus and the Power Punch Plus provide the energy needed to make plays every time they take the field. Then you have the Gladiator and the Hulk, nutrition every dominant player has to have. Bottom line, everyone wants to be a dominant player. Now, Swain, you tell me about the offensive side of the ball.
TK, it's simple. You always score with Smoothie King. The Shredder personifies what we are going to do to opposing defenses. The Berry Punch and Activator will light up the scoreboard. And in case we need to go into overtime, the Pure Recharge will put us over the top for the win.
Swain-O, you know I love football and Smoothie King. I'm a VFL, a Smoothie King for life. The Chocolate Gladiator and the Chocolate Shredder with the scoop of peanut butter. Oh, that's my go-to smoothie. They get a chest bump all day.
Yes, sir. This concludes our Men on Football and Smoothie King segment for today. Don't forget the Sip by Sip program. Use Smoothie King as a meal replacement 5 or more times a week, and you'll feel and see the difference. Smoothie King, the healthy alternative to fast food. Delicious and nutritious. TK.
Don't forget the peanut butter. Yeah, boy.
Gentlemen, when it comes to health and quality of life, there are numbers every man needs to know, including our testosterone number. I recommend going to Low T Center. They make it quick and easy to get your levels checked, and it's covered by most health insurance. Low T levels can make you feel tired and grumpy. It can raise your cholesterol, cause weight gain, and loss of muscle mass. Low T Center's physicians specialize in treating low T in men. Listen to me here. They know men's health and are reinventing men's health care. Call 865-392-1388 or go to lowtcenter.com.
It's Christmas in July at Better Mattress. Better Mattress has teamed up with Home Depot, and with select purchases, you can get a free Weber grill or choose a free adjustable base or a free headboard footboard while supplies last. Better Mattress has brands you know like Tempur-Pedic and Sealy, plus the brand I love, the Better Mattress brand, handcrafted in East Tennessee. Go to Better Mattress and get a free adjustable base, free headboard footboard, or free Weber grill while supplies last. 6 area locations, BEDRmattress.com.
Do you have cracks in your foundation? A wet basement or a nasty, leaky crawl space? Our listeners have heard about them on the Swain Event for over a year, and now it's time to make the call. Give B-Dry Waterproofing and Foundation Repair the opportunity to fix your home's problem. Since 1958, that's right, nearly 60 years, B-Dry has been solving basement, crawl space, and foundation problems throughout the country. B-Dry only uses high-quality materials from reputable manufacturers. They back their installations with some of the best warranties in the industry to provide homeowners with added peace of mind. They are truly an A-plus company. Whenever you start experiencing a wet basement, leaky crawl space, or a cracked foundation, remember these 3 words. Better call B-Dry. Reach out to B-Dry today today at 865-662-5238 to schedule your free appointment. That's 865-662-5238. Remember, better call B-Dry.
All right, team, listen up. It's tailgating time again in Tennessee. But most importantly, team, you're going to need to refi that tailgate and the truck it's attached to. With a refinanced auto loan with Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union with their Got That promotion, they'll give you up to $500 for your debt.
Are you serious, coach?
That's right, Johnny. Alcoa 10 will pay you up to $500 for your debt. Now, let's get out there and spread the word. Say it with me. Alcoa 10. Alcoa 10. Alcoa 10.
ATFCU is an equal housing lender.
At some point in your life, you're going to need an attorney. You need a guy like Jerrica Steele with the law firm of Butler, Vines, and Babb. Jerrica Steele is East Tennessee born, and he understands what giving his all truly means. To Jarrett, every case is big and every client is important. He will aggressively push your case to make sure you are quickly paid every dollar that you deserve. Give Jerrica Steele a call, 865-244-3933, and talk with him directly. His office is located at 2701 Kingston Pike. So if you've been injured in a car wreck, let Jerrica Steele and Butler, Vines, and Babb fight for you.
For a replay of each day's Swain Event TV, like us on Facebook.
So I had an idea for moments like this, Ben. I didn't share with you guys off the air yet, but I'll share with you now. Surprise! So I have this idea because we tend to do this a lot here on the show. It's three of us, and everyone has their own opinion. And there's times when you want to say, "Put your money where your mouth is," but we're not betting money in here. We're not going to do all that. But what we can do is on a particular outcome that we think is going to happen or not, we could put something on it. I ain't talking about money. Maybe something else. Maybe having to wear, you know, a silly hat or a silly chain or something like that. I've been tossing this idea around for a while. You know, we have our debates sometimes, and you know, one thing I like is that when someone is wrong, the other person gets to rub it in their face.
I love that as well.
I mean, I love that, man. This is what sports is all about. It's fun. And hey, you make a prediction, and you know, the guy that you're or lady that you're arguing against, you know, if you're right, you get to brag about being right. If you're wrong, then you got to take in the crap.
You got to deal with the crap.
So here we go. We got a situation here. You guys are Grizzly fans, Memphis Grizzlies fans.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
The in-state
team. Hey, I love it.
In-state team. And, Ben, what did you say about your team this upcoming season?
I'm not saying this because you brought this on air. I was going to say this during the break, but we kind of got to talking real fast, didn't have time to say this. So there's a little asterisk to what I said that you're not aware of. But I said that the Memphis Grizzlies will make the playoffs this year. And I firmly believe that now. And this is documented. I said this a week ago on the podcast that I do with Will Bowling, that's if they stay healthy. And not even if they, it's if Mark Gasol and Mike Conley stay healthy. If Conley or Gasol go down with an injury for an extended period of time, for I would say like a month, if they have to miss a month of the season, I don't believe they make the playoffs because the Western Conference is too good from top to bottom. I just don't think that I like the backups that the Grizzlies will have for Marc Gasol and Jaren Jackson and Javon Carter for Mike Conley, but they're not capable players yet of getting them to the playoffs if Gasol or Conley were to miss a month of the season. So I do firmly believe that if Gasol and Conley stay healthy and the rest of the team stays relatively healthy, I firmly believe they'll be a 7 or 8 seed in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to do any damage in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be a 4 or 5 or 6 seed, but I do think they'll make the playoffs. That's in a persuane, that is a hot take. So
that's not a hot take.
I have written down on a piece of paper. Oh, can you see that?
Let me see. Yeah, we can see that.
Yep. Okay. Oh, I guess it's kind of hard for the people to read, but yeah, I've written down.
You have a camera, too.
I do have a camera, don't I?
Yeah, you have a camera.
I'm an idiot, as we all know. Yeah. July 25th, 2018, I've written down that the Memphis Grizzlies will make the playoffs, and I signed it. And it's going to sit here.
Oh, man, but right. You didn't put if the guys were healthy.
I didn't know if you would allow me to do that. I don't need to do that. I think they'll make the playoffs.
Oh, so you're taking it back?
Well, no, I mean, I do believe that. It's just
so I don't. Playoffs.
No, because don't say now and then if it doesn't happen. Go well. I said on the show that if they make the playoff. No, I'm going by the document that you are signing right here.
Yeah, are you allowing me to write that?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh. So I would say in a way, I'm with Ben. I'll say they don't make the playoffs.
Why?
Because
other than the Western Conference being too strong, as the Grizzlies team is made up, why will they not make the playoffs?
Just the pieces around Mike and Mark are just so meh.
That's not true. That is not true at all.
They're similar to last year. I mean, it's not like they took a giant step back in that way, and Mike being healthy changes absolutely everything.
You have.
But at the same time, I could see them making the playoffs, absolutely. After the Lakers, the Warriors, and the Rockets, the Western Conference doesn't necessarily fall off a cliff, but it's pretty diluted. It's not, you know, it's like the teams that are in.
You do take a step back after those teams, but the Western Conference is still good after that point.
Yeah, by far the superior conference in the NBA. But are all of these other teams just a head and shoulders better than the Grizzlies? No.
Yes.
I don't think so.
How? Why won't the Grizzlies make the playoffs, Wayne?
You got two stars on the roster.
And you say that the players around them are meh. People keep saying that, and I strongly disagree. You have a Dylan Brooks who had a phenomenal rookie year.
He was great. Yeah.
And he is a legitimate starter in the NBA. You have JaMychal Green, who is a legitimate starter in the NBA. And then you have a Jaren Jackson, who looks like he could win Rookie of the Year this year. And then you add a Kyle Anderson, who –
Well, wild card like that. If Jaren Jackson turns out to be Donovan Mitchell, absolutely this team's making the playoffs, for sure. But I got to see it. I got to see it to believe it. And until then, I'm going to say they don't. I say they miss.
This will be the last thing, because I know we need to move on. Nobody cares about the Grizzlies. But last year in the Summer League, we saw three guys that stood out. Jason Tatum, Kyle Kuzma, Donovan Mitchell. Who were the three best rookies this year in the NBA? Jason Tatum, Kyle Kuzma, Donovan Mitchell. And I'm not saying the Summer League is the end-all, be-all. It's going to determine how they play or how the team is going to be. But Jaren Jackson was a star this Summer League on the defensive end of the floor, on the offensive end of the floor, and like in terms of a bunch of rookies on a basketball team, he was kind of the leader of sorts of that team. And because of that, I don't see him not having a big impact on the team this year. So I think there's a lot of keys going into that. You've removed all the cancers from the team except for Andrew Harrison. If we can get rid of Andrew Harrison, they may win the NBA title. So,
you know, I'm sitting here. I'm just really impressed of your fandom, Ben. Yeah, I mean, it was on display right there. I'm happy for you. I mean, it's cool. It's good to see someone believe in their team like you believe in the Grizzlies. Marc Gasol is great. Mike Conley is great. When I was in school, there was a place on the Strip. It's called Ortiz. I mean, this club was
R.I.P.
It was jumping. The only problem with Ortiz is that the occupant limit was not ideal for us. That means that the fire marshal would come in and stop other folks from coming in. We hit a limit. So it took for two people to leave before two people could enter. It was so annoying if you didn't get there on time. I'm looking at the Western Conference, and the same logic applies. I just don't see, besides the Spurs, I don't know what's going to happen with the Spurs. You know, they lose Tony Parker. I don't know what's going to happen with the Spurs.
Well, it's Kawhi.
Rockets not going anywhere. Well, Kawhi didn't play last year. Rockets not going anywhere. Warriors not going anywhere. Trailblazers not going anywhere. Thunder is not going anywhere. They'll be in the playoffs. Jazz are not going anywhere. They'll be in the playoffs. That's five. The Pelicans, I don't know. They might fall off, but let's just say they don't go anywhere. But it's a toss-up. The Spurs, I don't know what they're going to do. Timberwolves, I don't think they're going anywhere. I think they're going to be in the playoffs. So you got two spots. Well, who's going to take those two spots?
The Lakers are taking one.
The Lakers are taking one. You better believe it.
And then, I'd probably say the Nuggets or the Grizzlies for that last spot.
Yeah.
Nuggets, the Grizzlies, or the Pelicans.
The Nuggets were right there. You got the Lakers right there.
Hear what I'm saying. But I would take the Grizzlies, big two, over the Pelicans, big two, over Anthony Davis and – it's just Anthony Davis.
They don't have a big two.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Watching the Grizzlies play the Pelicans for years, Grizzlies do well against Pelicans. I would take the big two over the Nuggets, over the Clippers, not over the Lakers, but LeBron counts as three. I mean, I get it. I understand the Western Conference is deep, and that is very concerning.
It's deep.
But I think, once again, Mike Conley and Marc Gasol, people are forgetting that when they're healthy, they're two of the best basketball players in the league.
No, I'm with you. Justin Mack on the text box says, in my opinion, the Vols are positioned perfectly to beat West Virginia. The Mountaineers' offense is high-powered, pass offense. If Tennessee doesn't give up too many big plays early and stays with them point for point, the Vols will wear them down, destroy them in the fourth quarter. It's going to be the trenches. It's going to be the trenches. It's going to be Tennessee being tougher, stronger than West Virginia if Tennessee's going to have a chance to win.
Pressuring
you
Will
cannot
Greer.
Get the ball to the receivers if the quarterback is running for his life. Just simple as that.
I want to talk about this tomorrow because I've watched a lot of West Virginia last week.
Let's do it, man. Let's do it. I can't wait. 865-255-03. Ben McKee, Charlie Burris. Hour 3 powered by Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Today's lunch special at Dead End Barbecue is the Kitchen Sink Burrito. Go by there and try to eat it all. Good luck, but it's a lot. Peace and love. Have a great day. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.